Hi, this is Phil Lairness, sitting alongside my wife, Lily Lairness. As we travel through the third decade of the 21st century, it's good to know that the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions continue to produce a minimum of 4 hours of weekly audio goodness on Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
So here we go, the wondrous world of drones, and in particular, the essence of Operation Foreverwing. I'll say that again, Operation Foreverwing, and we're delighted, as I say, to actually explain the backdrop to Operation Foreverwing by the Civil Aviation Authority's very own Jonathan Nicholson. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm fine, thank you. Good to be with you.
Excellent. It's really great to connect with your good self. We've also been joined today by one of our regulars and indeed licensed drone individual from North Wales. That's Robin Pierce. How are you, Robin?
Hello there. How are you?
Excellent. Now, I think actually that'll be music to your ears, Jonathan, to actually know that we've got a genuine licensed drone operator with us. But talk to us first and foremost about Operation Foreverwing.
Yes, good news. So Operation Foreverwing is something we're working with the Home Office and the police on. I guess there's two elements to it. One is about trying to educate people about what the rules are, because owning and flying a drone comes with responsibilities. And also from a police and Home Office perspective, particularly being very clear what the punishments are, what the consequences are if you break those rules, or indeed if you use a drone for illegal purposes.
Yeah, I mean, there are over 200,000 drone operators already registered, but there are still thousands of drone operators yet to register. Can I just turn to Robin briefly on this? I mean, I know you're a passionate drone person when you're not doing your film criticism and obviously contributing regularly on the Midweek Drive and so on for Siren, but talk us through how you got interested in drones and went through the licensing procedure.
Well, basically, I like photography. I like taking photographs. And when drone technology came along, my one big problem with photography is it's all at ground level. So I wanted to get a drone that had a decent camera on it so I could take some more interesting photographs. I mean, I live in rural North Wales. We have beaches, we have cliffs, we have countryside. And, you know, you can go and stand on the edge of a cliff and take a photograph out to sea. And great, that's what everybody else does. You've got a drone, you can send it out over the cliff, turn it back, and you've got some pretty dramatic photographs. I try and keep abreast of what's happening in the world of droning, because these are like pioneer days. And of course, some regulation had to come in. And I think it was December year before last that I became aware that we had to license these things, which of course makes perfect sense. And it was late one Saturday night during a bout of insomnia that I took the online exam and coughed up my pennies and stuck the little sticker on the side of my drone, and we've been flying happily ever since, and legally.
Jonathan, the key thing obviously is legal, but is that a kind of standard story that you'd like to encourage in terms of people who say, let's become a drone, but let's actually do the drone owning thing responsibly?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the people we talk to, they actually enjoy flying their drone more and feel more comfortable if they've sort of learnt about the rules and passed their online test, because, yeah, they're then going out and doing the great things that drones can do and the fun that it can have with drones, but in that sort of knowledge and comfort that they know what they're doing, if you like. And a lot of people say that that makes it more enjoyable.
Exactly. I would, as a user, as an end user, I would definitely echo that, because you don't get behind the wheel of a car without learning how to drive it and what your vehicle is capable of. And of course, the damage, the irreparable damage it could do if abused or used stupidly. And just like driving, in the sort of droning kind of arena, if you like, you have the equivalent of boy racers who just, you know, they haven't got the cameras or anything like that, but they will buy something that can go from 0 to 60 in about 5 seconds. And of course, you lose sight of it. I mean, I've paid several hundred pounds for my drone, and one of the key things is always keep it in sight. Now, I tend to, when I'm taking some photographs, and if I want to go a little bit further or a little bit higher, and I need to keep my eye on my screen, I have my son with me who's constantly spotting the drone. Because, you know, let's face it, I'm not going to let several hundred pounds worth of drone just go missing because I don't keep my eye on it. It's absurd.
Jonathan, from the point of view of how Operation of Forever Wing is working, I think it's important to say this is not meant to be a draconian law to effectively clamp down and say, see what it is? It's just the police who'll be surveilling us all over the place. It is meant, I think, as Robin has been saying there, to actually ensure that the skies and the airspace is actually more beneficial for all. A bit like you need to have a license to fish.
The rules aren't draconian, though. They are based on pure common sense. I that's the beauty of the whole thing. And, you know, we're living in a day where, I'm sorry, but drones are becoming far more affordable. And common sense these days is becoming so rare, it might as well be a superpower.
Okay, Jonathan, interesting line there. You know, to come in on common sense, but your thoughts, please.
Yeah. So a lot of the rules are actually, yes, absolutely common sense. I mean, quite often we say to people, if you're doing something with a drone that doesn't feel right to you, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. And that's kind of what the rules are based around. You know, don't fly above 400 feet, which is 120 meters. Don't fly near airfields, airports, aircraft, and don't fly so close to people that you're going to harm them or property. You know, the exact rules are obviously slightly more detailed than that, and we have them in what's called the drone code. But absolutely, the CAA has always been pro-drone. We've always tried to facilitate everything we can with drones. We have a whole innovation team who are working with startup businesses, tech businesses from around the world, and the projects that they're working on are amazing. We're doing everything from an NHS trial in the Scottish Islands, where they're moving patient samples from islands to the mainland in a fraction of the time of the ferry and the road. And we're working with people who are developing what we call eVTOL, which is electric powered vertical takeoff and landing air taxis. So the extremes are massive. But for all of that to happen, we need everybody who flies a drone to do so safely.
I must admit, I'm still sceptical about the usage of drones for delivery services, which a certain well-known company which begins in A and ends in N.
I was actually going to ask about that, if that's actually on the cards.
Go for it, Robin. Go on. Quick question.
Yeah, we've heard about a certain large online retailer named after a South American river is thinking of using drones for deliveries. I mean, is this real or is it fake news or is it media hype?
So there are lots of trials around deliveries. And, you know, actually, when we say deliveries, so the NHS trial that we've been doing with a company called Skyports, and they've been operating, as I say, in Scotland from one of the islands to the mainland, that's drone delivery. It's quite a large drone. It has a compartment in the top that you open and put the package in. That's flying patient samples, PPE, et cetera, from location to location. That is drone delivery. A lot of them are trials at the moment while we work out how they safely integrate with everything else that flies. That's the key issue there. And that's about technology and operations. But, you know, that for me is as much a drone delivery.
Extraordinary times. Jonathan, if people are actually looking to find out further advice and really get the go-to things that they need to do, if they're either thinking about getting a drone or indeed they're looking at obviously ensuring that they know people who are following the guidelines, etc., where should they go?
Yep, so our website, caa.co.uk/drones, that has the drone code on, which is the rules and the advice, and also how to register and get your flyer ID as well.
Yeah, indeed. It's only last week a drone user was fined over £5,000 and then had their drone confiscated for flying it illegally in central London. So it's not wise to actually avoid the legalities of the whole process. Robin, any other questions you'd like to put
to
Jonathan?
To clarify with Jonathan, now this isn't about any new rules coming out. This is about a high-profile operation, Foreverwing, obviously, to ensure that people are adhering to the rules. Am I right in that?
Yeah, absolutely. So part of it is education, which we, as the CAA, have been doing for several years now. So it rolls into that. But also being very clear to people that if they are going to use a drone illegally or very dangerously, that enforcement does happen. The police have significantly expanded their counter-drone capability and their teams across the UK. And, you know, just being very clear with people that what the ultimate sanctions are. And, you know, the police shortly will be able to do on-the-spot fines, but also being clear to people that, you know, if you're found guilty of endangering an aircraft, it's a very serious thing and you could go to prison for up to 5 years.
Well, of course. So basically, your message to drone operators is always have your documentation with you in whatever kind of case you're carrying your drone around in, because it could be asked for at any time. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's a big help as well. So I know when I've been flying drones, you occasionally get stopped by people and, you know, do you know what you're doing? Are you allowed to do this? And being able to show that you've done the right things, you've got the right, you know, paperwork is great in those situations, because most people just are curious and, you know, it solves the situation.
I love that line, Jonathan. Do you know what you're doing? I mean, it must have been so tempted then to actually say, you do know I'm from the Civil Aviation Authority. Oh, yeah, et cetera. It's extraordinary. Jonathan, it's been great sharing some thoughts with your good self today. And we appreciate you obviously sort of dealing with a double whammy, Robin and myself, actually quizzing you from the practice of a drone owner. And indeed, obviously, somebody who's just fascinated by the whole thing. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us? Not a droner, but a Zoomer with us today.
Yeah, really good. Thank you both.
Excellent. So the next critical question is, can we look forward to connecting again with your good self? Will you return?
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you want us.
Jonathan Nicholson from the Civil Aviation Authority, and indeed Robin Pearce. Many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Time for another Zoomer on the Midweek Drive for Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbeam.com. Keeping the COVID-19 bugs at bay.
We're back, as if we ever went away, because obviously you've just been listening to two of us speaking with the drone man, as I like to refer to him, droning on. But certainly when we're tired of drones, we want somebody who's going to energise us, innovate us and so on. It's Sarah Huntley. Welcome, Sarah, to the Midweek Drive.
Good evening. Happy Friday, everybody.
Bless you, Sarah. Even though this is going out on a Thursday morning, you're still actually in with us.
Oh, happy Thursday, happy, happy.
Listen, I started forgetting about time once we started these Zoom things, so you may well be listening to it and downloading it as soon as they actually go online, in which case you do say HF day, which is important. Sarah, have you ever actually considered in the Britain Huntley family purchasing or owning a drone?
Definitely not. No. I'm very anti-drones, unless they're serving a direct purpose. I think they're another I'm too irritated by it. I think it's another intrusion on people's privacy. I find Alexis's are lovely, but Alexas are a pain in the neck. And my husband went a bit mad when he retired with putting Alexas everywhere. And I just don't like it. I feel like I'm in one of those, you know those films that you and I used to watch in our youth, Alexius, where they have to look under the coffee table to see whether there's a bug. I don't like it. And it inhibits people talking freely, I feel. Not that you're going to say anything bad, but I think drones are a bad thing.
I'm smiling, Sarah, not just because I'm congratulating Katie Grimason on she's got work, she's finally managed to get employment, gainful employment with a top class base in Birmingham. So congratulations, Katie. We said you'd do it and you have.
Thank you.
Yay, you see, success will always act for a midweek drivette. But I'm smiling, Sarah, because I think you might just have got slightly the wrong end of the stick there, because I don't think actually the drones we were just talking about with the Civil Aviation Authority were necessarily going to be hovering around internally. Robin, on the other hand, does have a drone. He's a professionally licensed drone operator. And maybe he'd like to just share with us, for people that might have just ignored the last 13 minutes of this show with respect to the Civil Aviation Authority, and what exactly is a drone? Because I can see, Robin, people would have been very confused if people thought, are they talking about bugs? What's this all about in this sort of operation that the police are now launching?
Well, first of all, I could see that one coming. You've just thrown me under the bus again with Sarah Huntley.
I'm sorry, but you did ask.
No, my drone is a four-propellered little gadget that I can send off at various legal altitudes to take high-res photographs. I like photography, as I explained on the previous segment. I always felt limited that my photographs were always at ground level. And when drone technology came along, I figured, you know, let's go for some aerial photographs. Basically, that's what I use it for. There are commercial aspects to this as well, as we were told by the gentleman from the Civil Aviation Authority that they're being used to drop off medical supplies. Amazon are actually considering using them for deliveries. There are many positive aspects, but the first thing I thought before I got my own was, you know, is this some kind of spyware where you can, you know, take photographs or film somebody without them knowing? It doesn't have that kind of stealth technology, because it doesn't record sound, because you can hear that thing coming from a mile.
At the moment, of course, but let's find out whether Hannah O'Brien, because she's always been across her drones, as I know from years past, might have something to add. Hannah, any thoughts on drones in your own particular line of work?
The only drones that I've come across are the ones that they're talking about using for Amazon deliveries. But I haven't heard of anything else being used in the FMCG market. I'm all ears, though, if anyone else knows anything.
Yeah, well, it could be a sort of strange and wondrous thing, which is literally just working through that. Because I'm kind of celebrating the notion of, you know, we've survived the Mayan calendar, we worked through this, and you can see there's Hannah, and look, look, there's Katie also behind us there, way back in the day in the Siren studio, where Katie Grimason and Hannah O'Brien were solid midweek drivettes with the likes, of course, of Natalie Tuck and Phil Leonis and others. Sarah, that was back in 2012. 2012, that was.
Gosh, 2012, yes.
I know. Frightening, but still, never mind. And why, you might well say, are we thinking about 2012? Well, because that, as Hannah will attest to and Katie will also say, was the year of the Myathon. It was the year that we actually launched the whole sort of celebration of, after, you know, around about 5,125 years. Remember, Sarah, you did our time checks every hour on the hour, as you can actually hear again now. We had the following has been recorded between the hours of this and this. And so it's gone. And who should actually be connected with us for the first time, thanks to the Myathon, but she who's making her debut on the Midweek Drive today? It's Penny Evans from Buxton. How are you, Penny? And once she's unmuted herself, she'll say, how are you, Penny?
Hi, I'm fine. Hi.
There we are. Proof.
Hello, everyone.
Even in Derbyshire, we can get together. So, Penny, this is the first hour. Somebody who's been, I think it's fair to say, an aficionado, a fan of the Midweek Drive over the years in so many ways. Now you've got the chance to actually physically see at least three, indeed four, with Robin, of course, of the regular Midweek Drive team, etc. I know you were very excited about it. Let's hope it's not a huge disappointment. That's all I can say. But
no, I've joined Robin. Yeah, hi, Robin.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
I've joined Robin on Facebook, yeah. I don't know the three underneath me, though.
You don't know Hannah O'Brien? She was sitting right next to Phil Leonis there.
I don't know you guys. Hi, girls.
And Katie Grimerson, whom you've regularly sort of said, don't worry, Katie, it'll be okay.
Gosh, I didn't recognise you because you had longer hair when I last saw you, like, in Lincoln.
Well, not that much longer. And the legend that is Sarah Huntley, who is also sort of our drone expert, as she's just proven yet again.
Hi, Sarah.
The fact that we actually survived that marathon was something which was particularly sort of significant, I thought, because as we said, it was a show that had actually been in the planning for something along the line of 5,175 years. However, in the light of the pandemic, I thought, well, clearly we're into another kind of area here. We're into an area which it could be said is something that Mulder and Scully might have actually followed through. So first of all, Penny, how have you find the pandemic? And I'm thinking in particular of the X-Files first movie here, where clearly the notion of vaccinations is treated with an awful lot of scepticism by both Mulder and Scully.
Well, first of all, it's weird you should say about Mulder and Scully and you were talking about Mayan, because I was actually listening to Kevin J. Anderson's book, Ruins, which is all about that, the Mayan and the alien spaceship and everything. So that's amazing. But can you repeat that? Oh, hello. I like your background.
I'll just do a sort of quick round robin here. Hannah, I know your heart has always been set on external rural events and peanut butter these days, and that's why we love you. But were you an X-Files fan in any way, shape or form?
I've never seen the X-Files, no.
Never seen the X-Files.
I've never watched
it. Hannah, have you seen Doctor Who?
I have, yes.
Well, this T-shirt that I'm wearing is actually Mulder and Scully from the X-Files with the TARDIS.
Amazing. Oh, that's brilliant. Together.
And I actually, I was down in London Comic Con in 2018, I think it was. I met Peter Capaldi, who loved this T-shirt. He was going, wow, that is so unusual. Because it's both. Okay, it's called The Agents Have the TARDIS. You've got Mulder and Scully with the TARDIS. I wanted to combine the two shows I like.
Steady, Penny. Sarah.
Sorry.
back in the day, I think we spoke to somebody who actually said that we tried to do a British version of the X-Files and they'd actually targeted both of us as kind of lead roles. I don't know. It was extraordinary. But what are your thoughts on the X-Files and indeed that 2012 surviving the Mayan thing, or indeed have we? As you take us on a wonderful trip, for the benefit of the radio listener here, Sarah's just zooming us around the whole thing, getting comfortable. So what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, I have to admit, I didn't really watch the X-Files. I mean, I knew what it was about. Mm. I think I was just very busy at the time, but I knew it was sensationally successful and had a big cult following. I mean, I think probably I was more Sapphire and Steel, which probably none of you...
I love Sapphire and Steel. I got sort of into all... I mean, Sapphire and Steel was like the earliest sort of X-Files, you know, only they were like... they were aliens.
All irregularities will be handed by the forces concerning each dimension. Transuranic heavy elements may not be used where there is life. Medium atomic weights are available. Yep. Sapphire and Steel have been assigned. Important that we actually get with this. I appreciate, Katie, you might sort of think, what's happened? I'm used to a music slot on this particular slow program, and now they're speaking in tongues. Well, don't worry. But in terms of the X-Files, or indeed Sapphire and Steel, are there any sort of areas there that you sort of thought, ah, yes, or indeed the Myathon?
To me, it
was.
No, I haven't really watched the X-Files. I think I've seen a couple of episodes, but I do know that there is a song by Catatonia, I think, about the X-Files. So that's all I know, really.
Well, it's education. It's what it's about. It's what the show is all about, effectively. So let's progress.
Alex, the Mayan show you did, it was through Phil Lairness. Okay, yeah, through X-Files, in a way. I met you. We would never have met if I'd never have met Phil Lairness.
Sorry about that, Penny, but never mind. I know.
They brought us together.
And bless her, Penny didn't even realise we'd stopped doing the show live for some time, basically. It's all right. This is live. It's going out via podcast. But the podcasts come first. in this new strange world in which we play around with time and various other things. Clearly, it's a case of podcasts coming first. Robin, as you can tell, we've established the sequence now. We've moved from drones right the way through to the whole notion of time and aspects relating to time. And if you want to actually go for the classic sort of example of David McCallum and Joanna Lumley, then simply look at Sapphire and Steel behind me. Always good, always well worth accessing, and probably a resonance rewind in the not too distant future. Who would you like to throw a question to at this moment in time? Sarah? Penny, who could talk about how she's been also promoting the Myathon, again through the X-Files site, or Hannah or Katie, or all four?
Well, let me first... I'd like to ask Robin a question. And it's... Robin, yes? Did you used to watch the X-Files back in the day? Well, Robin, no, I didn't. Not back in the day, because I'd missed most of the first season and I was afraid it might be one of these story arc things and I found it hard to get into. So what did you do then, Robin? Well, I bought the DVDs when they came out. And have you watched them? Well, yes, I have, actually. And I have since become quite an X-Files fan. So, yeah, thank you for asking that, Robin, because I felt just a tad left out. Well, you know,
because he's Welsh? Is that it? I mean, you're married to Welsh. Is this a Welsh thing, do you think?
Oh, to tell you, I don't think it is. No.
No. Okay. That's fine. That's okay. You're sounding very quiet, Sarah, but that's okay.
Penny,
yes. What
first brought you to the X-Files? Because from your Facebook page, you're not an X-Files fan. You are an X-Files super fan. How did this come about? And have you followed the series to the point where you yourself have become suspicious of everything that you're told by the media and the government?
Well, our government right now, yeah. I don't bloody believe them. But, okay, no, it started out, I've always been interested in that sort of phenomena, that sort of, genre, I mean, not phenomena. I mean, I was into Quantum Leap before that. In fact, I was more a Quantum Leap fan when X-Files came along. I was still heavily into Quantum Leap, and I'd met most of the people on the show, and I'd got really into it and got over to America to the conventions. It was a friend of mine who's she's quite open to the spiritual and she's into all that. My dear girlfriend, actually, who was at my wedding, she was my maid of honour, and she just said, oh, there's a show come along called The X-Files, it's going to be on BBC, I think it was BBC Two then, was it? BBC, I can't remember who aired it for, BBC Two. And she says, you're going to like this because, you like that sort of thing. So I watched the pilot and I thought, it's a little shaky, they're only starting out, but it's interesting, I think I'll stick to it. And I stuck with it till I was even recording it on video then, because it was when it first aired, of course, in 1994, I think, in the UK. I think America got it in 93, and then we got it the year after, something like that.
And there was always a delay, wasn't there?
So, yeah, I was video. Oh, yeah, we were behind all the time. In fact, in season, when it got to where Mulder was killed at the end of season, I think season five, we all thought I was it. He'd gone. He was dead, because in England, he didn't come back for like a year or so. And so we thought the show was over by then. And then, announced it's coming back for season six. I think that's right. I could be wrong in these seasons. You know, you're calling me a fan, but I'm not sure what seasons were, what episodes. And what. I haven't watched it for a long time.
There were seasons in the sun. There was rain, there was shine.
Oh, yeah. That song, yeah. But no, I haven't actually watched it for a while. I've been more into I've been listening to audiobooks, not necessarily just X-Files, but I've been into Philip Pullman's. I absolutely love his Dark Materials. I've read the books, so I'm going off X-Files now. But yeah, I mean, I love.
Are you hoping for another? Excuse me. Are you hoping for another event series?
No.
Has the story been told?
To be honest, I think by the time I've always told all the fans when I'm speaking to online, because they say, "What was your favourite ending?" I think my favourite ending was the end of season 9, The Truth, because it brought everything full circle. And there's a beautiful bit where Mulder says something about where they believe, they sort of say that we believe the same thing. If you listen to what speaking it will be, that it'll come to help us, you know. And even though he didn't believe in God, he was sort of Scully, who did believe in God, said then, well, we believe the same thing. I just thought, and he says maybe there's hope at the end. So it left them on the run, but it left them in a nice place there. I thought that was a great ending, and spiritually it was a great ending. And then they had to go and do a movie, which I was actually in Vancouver when they were filming it. So I did get to meet some of the crew and Chris Carter just very briefly. But the film was good. I did like the film because it was a standalone, so you could take it away from the series. But when they brought the event series back, I couldn't stand season 10. Again, I was in Vancouver and I saw them filming it. I'd only gone over there because my mum had passed away. And my husband, Pete, said, why don't you take her ashes to Vancouver? Because she loved the place. So I went to Vancouver, scattered her ashes on Grouse Mountain. New X-Files were filming, but didn't think they'd be filming in the city. Actually found them, saw David filming, couldn't get near him at the time, but saw him filming, and my favourite flipping writer was filming at the same time. Glenn Morgan, who went on to do the Twilight Zone, the new Twilight Zone, he was behind that. So Glenn Morgan, who also did the brilliant Intruders with John Sim, and we were miffed, he only got a first season on BBC Two, lovely people. But they axed it after that. But season 10, though, I wasn't impressed with. I kind of thought, I wish they hadn't come back. Season 11, I thought they were picking up again. But even so, I thought I go for the writing. I don't go for effects.
But Penny, at the end of the day, the truth is out there. Sarah, yeah. Are you devastated that the BBC have canned Holby City after a lifetime?
A bit wounded, to tell the truth. Yeah. Well, because right. I'm a casualty, as Rosa the anaesthetist, as you know. So, in fact, Holby City came from Casualty. So it's interesting because Casualty has survived now as the mothership, to be a bit scientific, as space age with you all, more because Holby City came from that. But yeah, I think it's a bit sad, but there we go. I mean, I don't see why Holby City's going, and we've had EastEnders with us a long time. We've had Emmerdale with us a long time. We've had, I suppose it's how much things metamorphosize into something that's credible now and, of the moment now.
Okay, well, let's just hold it there. Let's move generations. Katie, we talked about the X-Files, talked about Holby City, talked about do you care? Or is it just a case of, look, get real, everything's on stream now. I YouTube myself. So, you know, let's go with that.
I used to watch Holby City when I was a bit younger, but I haven't watched it for years. So I don't think it really affects me.
Yeah, and Hannah, you're too busy, frankly, to actually have any sort of involvement with the whole system. But do you have any favourite TV shows or event series, or is it just a case of it's slightly more chronologically gifted folk like Sarah, Robin, Penny, myself, who's like, oh, the days where we'd gather around a television set, we'd use a videotape if we actually missed it, or, you know, before then, it's astounding. It's just a strange, mystical world we're speaking.
I did used to watch a lot of series. So I did watch Casualty, I watched Holby City, sometimes even made it to Coronation Street. But yes, these days it's less of the dramas and more about documentaries for me. And most of them are on Netflix on-demand services just because it's much easier to fit into a schedule.
What documentaries do you like, Hannah?
I like the Louis Theroux ones. Louis Theroux.
Oh, yeah.
And anything Blue Planet.
Oh, yeah.
Making a Murderer, Evil Genius, all of those kind of...
I love the... my husband and I are absolutely obsessed with these real-life crime dramas. Is that the one you're doing? Yeah. I'm trying to think of Blood Relatives. Yeah. And I love them. I think they're brilliant. Yeah, I mean, you're thinking, your brain's saying, okay, these are real, people have really died here. This isn't a drama, but it is a drama. And it's what I find interesting is how they work it out, how they work out who did it, you know, the DNA and all that business. It fascinates me, all that, the science. Yeah, it's
I don't know whether you've come across, which I find there's a kind of drama within the drama that's happening. There's a podcast that I listened to 2 or 3 years ago about an unsolved murder in Cork. And that one has been on the news because, having done the podcast, the guy that's involved in the podcast, and they interview all the different people, and you have to say, relate that actually this isn't some TV drama, this is real. Mm. And just recently, I don't know if you've read in the news, but the chap that was on the podcast has now been sent to prison because they've said, yes, he was the murderer. It's weird.
Yeah, but, Sarah, there are many podcasters who should be sent to jail. I mean, I've said that for years. Present company accepted, obviously. As we move to Jessica in North Carolina, back with us again. Jessica, the team who's sort of been sorting themselves out, addressing all sorts of other bits and pieces, share with us the state of play with respect to the X-Files, because, of course, you shared with Robin and myself the experience of seeing your first ever episode of the X-Files with Postmodern Prometheus a while back as part of Resonance Rewind. So did that float your boat at all, Jessica?
It did. I had never seen X-Files before. I thought it had to do with aliens. So when I watched it, I enjoyed watching it. I think it's a cool little retro show that, you know, I think you can watch it with anybody. And I like that there's variation in the episodes. So I think it's something that I will start watching more regularly. I think my parents, they usually know the shows that we watch on Resonance Rewind, but I think this is one that they hadn't watched. So I think it'd be interesting to watch some episodes with them and kind of hear their thoughts on it.
Jessica, are you going to start from the beginning? Don't start from don't go on from where you are onwards. You need to start from the beginning, because okay. The earlier ones were the best. They were. But season 3 is my absolute favourite. But Postmodern Prometheus is Chris Carter's, yeah. And I think. But I know that it's David's favourite. David Duchovny's favourite. That one.
It's a classic. It brings in so many tropes. It's just wondrous in so many ways. And who would have thought that one of the stars of X Files would have gone on to make such a fantastic quintessential Margaret Thatcher? And yes, David, I think looks very good in that particular role. It's great, you know.
I don't watch that. I don't watch The Crown.
You haven't seen The Crown. Well, Richard Williams would have been shocked.
Yeah, clips.
Never mind. Jessica, I'm going to turn to your good self because, it's the reason that peanut butter hasn't arrived is quite simply I haven't forwarded on your address to Hannah as yet. She's
there
actually said, look, I'll send some stuff over to Jessica. I just need an address. So I've been tardy in that. So never mind. But, you know, we'll get that peanut butter to you to actually go with the sweet tea and the boiled peanuts.
I am ready. Great. I'm ready for peanut butter.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I have it with maple syrup. Lovely.
Ooh. That's very nice.
And that always needs a bit of branding for yourself, basically. You can have sort of shameless podcast scenarios. You can actually wrap up these by saying, don't forget to like and subscribe right here. And there you are. The video to Robin and post it. Anyway, Jessica, who would you like to quiz, or what sort of questions would you like to put to the team? You know everybody here, apart from Penny, of course, who you just met. Who do you want to go to? What sort of team thing would you like to share with us from that land of North Carolina souls, not too far away from West Virginia, where, as we found out last week, you can actually buy a raffle. You get a raffle ticket if you get a vaccine, and that raffle ticket entitles you to buy a rifle with which you can obviously shoot people who haven't had the vaccine, which, you know, it could actually be the reason that America has got out of lockdown so soon. But anyway, we know Penny trusts the government. Well, what's not to love about Princess Carrie, as I've said? Jessica, over to you.
Yes, it's my first time meeting Penny. Hello. Hi, where are you based?
Where am I? In a little town called Buxton, which is an hour's drive from Manchester. So you might have heard of Manchester City. In the north. We're up north, yeah.
Okay.
Northwest UK.
How is the state of the pandemics and the masks and everything up there? How are you doing?
The mask. we're surviving. Alex can jump in here. And Robin. Actually, anyone from England here can jump in. It's very confusing. I don't want to get political,
let's just test that, Penny. Sarah, have you been confused by, we're doing this by Dominic, we're doing this by Mr. Hancock, we're doing this by, it's hopeless. What are your thoughts on this? As somebody who's actually, obviously, like myself, taught through the pandemic via Zoom.
Oh, very confusing. I agree, Penny. I think we all think the same. And it changes day by day, and I don't know what anyone says.
Yeah.
And now we've got the Indian variant. And
I know. Because he didn't shut the borders down quick enough.
My confusion at present is, why isn't Priti Patel sorting out all these Scots who are flooding to London? You know, I mean, for goodness sakes, you know, can you put a Bowder up there, you know, in some way, shape or form, a kind of Hadrian's Wall?
Do you think, though, to stick up for the government? No, I'm not sticking up for the government, but I do think that there are people out there who also have not obeyed the rules and have just spread it like, you know, these are the people I want.
Penny, there are people out there. The truth is out there. Hannah, what's it? I mean, as you said, you've just been Zooming galore. You've never been busier during the pandemic from that perspective. So how's it been in Gloucestershire?
Absolutely. From what I've seen, people have mostly stuck to the rules down here.
It's only the minority that haven't. I'm not talking majority. Yeah.
Yeah. But we're still wearing masks, still social distancing. Honestly, I don't know if I should admit this, but I am so glad that they've pushed back the easing of the lockdown by another month. I think that it's absolutely the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe we shouldn't be in the situation where they've had to, but definitely feeling a lot more at ease knowing that that those restrictions are still going to be in place a bit longer.
Have you guys all had your jab? I mean, Hannah, you're quite young. Have you had your jab yet?
I've had both of mine.
Both? I'm still waiting for my second one, so yeah, I'm very wary about...
Penny. You know, we've said it before, if you're in Buxton, you're always put to the back of the queue.
My husband's fine. He's had his two jabs. He's all right. But he goes to the pub, but I don't. I'm staying in. I'm not going anywhere much until I've had that second jab, because don't trust people out there either. So I'd rather have my second jab and then go out. Yeah.
Well, we do know that Robin is a huge fan of Mark Drakeford, who has announced that Wales is back in lockdown, or at least partial lockdown, for another 4 weeks. So, I mean, anything you'd like to eulogise about with respect to Mr. Drakeford?
Well, he's announced that there will be no further review for 4 weeks. So it's a status quo here. I live in a small seaside resort in northwest Wales. And our big problem now is, I mean, all through, you know, the autumn and winter, spring even, we've been fine. But of course, we have a huge influx of tourists now. So it is like a population explosion. Imagine wherever you are, the population goes up times three or four. And these are the problems that we have. I think that the talking to people in various things like coffee shops, what have you, they are really worried about Boris Johnson over in England lifting the restrictions on masks and social distancing, Mark Drakeford in Wales keeping the status quo, because you'll have all the tourists coming to think, you know, that we don't socially distance here anymore, and refusing to accept the fact that the rules are different, because there have been many, many cases of that happening. And, you know, my heart goes out for the people in the hospitality industry and in the supermarkets, the workers who've had to put up with so much abuse from people who are needlessly rude. I know it's born out of frustration, but it's needlessly rude.
As we say, be kind to each other. Very important. Katie, are you anxious about the fact that you're going into the world of work where obviously people will say no social distancing whatsoever? But what are your own thoughts on this one, Katie?
A little bit, I guess. But I was told in my interview that they get regularly tested. So I'm assuming that I'm going to have to start having tests. But I just don't really listen. I don't take any notice of what the government say anymore, because it has changed so much. But I think as long as, you know, I'm wearing my mask and family are wearing the mask, we're keeping, you know, distant from people, I think that's all you can do. But what I don't understand is why people want to go abroad so soon. I mean, last year I was supposed to go to Italy. I've always wanted to go to Italy and we've had to cancel it, but I'm not even interested in going abroad anytime soon. I just want to get back into work, really.
So there you have it, Jessica. Apart from the fact that we all look nostalgically back to those wonderful daily updates where we had, next slide, please. The delivery was just immaculate. Yeah. Next slide, please. Would you... I mean, does this gel with your North Carolina experience? You think it's fine? Because as we know, in America, you're free in New York. You're free in Los Angeles. You're ever free in certain states. You're free in Texas.
Oh, it's so strange. I think in the South, it's like we never really... There was never a complete consensus on wearing masks. So there was always some people that were just like, out there, but now that they've lifted mask regulations, so we can walk around without one, but my mom and I still wear one. We kind of end up being like the Lone Rangers out in like the grocery store wearing them, but yeah, it's a bit strange. I don't know how the other states are doing right now. I feel like it's all just very...
Jessica, I heard that the Indian variant is in America, but mm-hmm. not too much, but it's spreading like wildfire in the UK. So I think you Americans should be careful.
I think so too.
They need to do all sorts of things. Why do you think I actually wanted to celebrate the fact that we've managed to do nearly 10 years since the Mayan calendar actually signified the end of the world? So we're still battling through. The following has been recorded between the hours of etc. Sarah, do you feel motivated now? Do you feel as though, yeah, fantastic, the world's in a good place? And we're happy.
Oh, golly, that's a question. I feel a lot happier than I have done for a long time. And I know that things will return.
Yeah.
I get fed up with people going, enjoying, saying, oh, it's never going to be like it was. Well, life's constantly changing anyway, so poo to that. I just enjoy meeting people and being with my friends again and giving them hugs. And I think the thing is, perhaps this is an un-PC, unpolitical thing to say, but I think you do have to look at, I mean, Jessica's asking what it's like here. Well, the G Summit happened in Cornwall. So where's the largest influx recently? I know 10 people that got COVID in Cornwall now. I've only got back the other day. So I did a flow test and I double checked and I was in contact with those people at the particular time. But, you know, if you have, it just proves, if you have a summit, people from all around the world and that number of people brought into a small space in Cornwall, like we're talking about in Wales, surprise, surprise, we get it. But I do think there has to come a line. I can't stand Boris Johnson, but we do have to learn to live with it as well. And you have to look at it medically as how things like the flu pandemic is, and it will one day become like the flu pandemic. It is not there yet, but that's what it's going to be.
Well, no, I mean, when we've all had our vaccinations, you can see the deaths are going down. The hospitals, the cases are rising, the deaths are not, and that's a good sign. That's a really good sign.
You have to hang on to that, but ultimately, there is going. Life is a risk. It's a risk, and so this is everything is pushed into this, and I think there's so much mental illness. Jessica here, there's so much stress that it has to be weighed up between the two. And I also think there's a lot of repairing to do on people's nerves and states. And a lot of people don't know that they've gone to a different place and they need to be brought out of that. And that's why communicating like tonight and television and different things are so important. So I'm not very political myself, but I do get rather cross with people actually getting a sense of enjoyment. I'm afraid it is that in being pessimistic, and I'm always optimistic.
So, absolutely, yeah. Sarah. The glass is always half full. which is important, especially as we started off these Zoomers over a year ago with exactly that sort of thought in mind, which is great. So, Jessica, it falls to your good self to from America, where it is safe from everything, which we know it is because it's land of truth, justice, liberty, and mom's apple pie. And, of course, as you'll be known, the Burtis girls, masked raiders of shops in America, following in the footsteps of Jesse James, who, of course, were brothers, Jesse and Fred James. Would you like to put the last two questions to the team, please, Jessica, in whichever order you wish, and indeed to whom you wish? Start off now, please.
All right. I guess we can go. I don't know if you want to go one by one, but I'll start with who I see on my screen. So, Robin, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
Highlight of my day.
Fantastic. And Sarah, how about you? Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer?
Not just reasonably, a lovely time. Thank you very much.
Good. And Katie, how about you? Has it been a good Zoomer?
Yeah, it's been interesting to see people's different views about the pandemic.
I agree. And Hannah, how...
You see, frozen in mid question there. But I think it was, have you had an interesting Zoomer, Hannah?
Fantastic as always.
Yeah, it's all right. It's the offshoot of actually having sweet tea in North Carolina. You have Zoom face. It's a byproduct medically that hasn't quite sort of ever. But you literally just freeze just in mid sort of question there. But it's okay. We're up to Penny now, Jessica.
Okay, sorry, Penny. It's been nice to meet you. And have you had a thank you. Have you had a good Zoomer today?
Absolutely. This is my first, and I've absolutely loved it. Love meeting you all. Meeting the people I know and meeting the new people.
There you go. We move from drones through the X-Files. And if you want to really scare yourself about vaccines, watch the first X-Files movie. The truth is in there. We leave it at that particular moment in time. Robin Pierce, Katie Grimerson, Hannah O'Brien, Penny Evans, Sarah Huntley and Jessica Burtis. Huge thanks. Be safe, be well, be happy. See you all again soon.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. Bye.